Daniel prayed earlier, we appreciate those who are visiting with us. We're glad that you're here, and those who regularly worship, I'm encouraged by your presence, and we have some back that have been out of town, and it's good to see familiar faces. It's good to be able to come back with you this morning, having been out of town myself, and it was good to be able to present some lessons with the brethren in Northwest Arkansas, and We had a good time together. There were three baptisms, and I'm very encouraged by that. When someone is brought to Christ, that's always an encouraging thing. But it's good to be back with you as well, and we hope that our time spent this morning in God's Word will be beneficial and helpful. Now, James wrote in that passage of Scripture that Roger just read, he talked about brethren, and it's really an unfortunate situation that he's talking about. He mentions that they're divided, they're fighting among themselves. He mentions that they have lusts and desires that aren't right. But notice in verse 3, he says they were still praying. The asking there is praying. These were a praying people. So how can you be divided and be a praying people? How can you have lust in your life and be a praying people? That's kind of an interesting thing to think about. So these are brethren, these are Christians who they're praying a lot, but there's spiritual problems among them. And one of the indications that James mentions there is that in their praying, they were asking with selfish motives, things for themselves to spend it on their pleasure. So a person can be a praying person and still have some issues and problems in their life. So this morning, and I asked If Phil would lead some songs on prayer. One of the great examples of prayer, of course, is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we learn from him to pray that we would do the Lord's will, not our own will, what we would like. Another example of prayer that we want to look at this morning is that of Solomon, if you'll turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. If we were playing Bible trivia this morning and we had the question, who's the wisest man in the world, apart from someone like Jesus, of course we would answer Solomon. And everybody knows that he's the wisest man. And he prayed for wisdom. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. But what we're going to focus on more this morning, more than just the idea of wisdom, some time ago I preached a lesson here. I was looking at my notes last year, I preached on Solomon and his prayer for wisdom. We're not going to focus as much this morning on wisdom as to how his prayer affects his life. Have you ever thought about that, brethren? You are what you pray for. Let me say that again. You are what you pray for. And that's what we want to focus on. We want to focus on the fact that he prayed for something, and that was a good thing that he prayed for, but it ran its course in areas of his life. It fulfilled itself in different areas of his life. And so we learn from that you are what you pray for. And we're well aware that Solomon is the wise king. And his story, his 40-year story, is told in 1 Kings 1 through 11 and 2 Chronicles 1 through 9. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to focus on his prayer and what he asked for, the content of it. Now, when you look at prayer, it's a very broad topic. Solomon's life is a very broad topic, some 40 years there. But we're going to focus on the content of what he prayed for and how that affected various areas of his life. James says that the problem among those brethren is the content of their prayers and their motives, and they were asking for things for selfish purposes. When you study prayer, there's a number of different areas of that. You could study a person's attitudes. You can study the different kinds of prayer. There's confession and intercession and supplication. You can do that study. That's a good study. You can study the kinds of approaches, asking according to God's will versus selfishness. This morning we're going to talk about the content. What Solomon prayed for worked itself out in various areas of his life. And that's the same for us today. So what do you pray for? We had some prayers this morning. Maybe you prayed even before coming to services. What was the content? What were some of those things? Those things will make us who we are. We'll see that this morning. So what did Solomon ask for? Well, out of 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles, we're going to focus this morning on the king's record of his history. So turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3 this morning. As we begin to see the rule and the reign of Solomon. David is old, he's passing away. You've got, of course, Adonijah's attempt to usurp the throne, and he is not made the king, but Solomon is, and so that covers the first chapter or so, chapter 2, also David's death and that type of thing. And we come over to chapter 3 when Solomon begins to reign. He's been reigning for about 3 years now. And in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 1, Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house, this house of Jehovah and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in the high places because there was no house built for the name of Jehovah until those days. And Solomon loved Jehovah, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place, and 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, Jehovah appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great loving kindness, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great loving kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Jehovah my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give thy servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this day this great people?" When you read these first few verses, we're going to look at seven areas of Solomon's life. I believe his 40-year reign can be outlined in these seven areas of his life. And we're going to find that in these seven areas, this prayer touches on these various areas. The first thing that we notice this morning is that when Solomon prayed, he asked for something spiritual. He asked for something that was inward. He asked for an understanding heart. When you pray for things, when I pray for things, what is the focus of those things? Is it an inward spiritual thing, or is it always the outward? There's nothing wrong with praying for physical things. I think about Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "Give us this day our daily bread." We can pray for food, shelter, and clothing. We can pray for physical things. But when we pray, do we ever ask for that which is spiritual, that which is inward, that which is going to give us a better character? Notice, first of all, this morning that what he prayed for was focusing on the inward spiritual side of his life. There's so many people today, even if they do pray, it's for physical things, money and cars and homes and jobs and this and that, and we need these basic necessities of life. But that's not what Solomon asked for, and we know the rest of the story, how that God even recognizes you didn't ask for physical things. What we ask for shows the type of person we are. If we were to record our prayer and hit rewind and play, would the majority of it be spiritual or would it be physical in nature? That says who we are. That says what our focus is. And so we learned this morning that the content, the specific thing that we're praying for shows what kind of a person we are. And at this point, at least in Solomon's life, he was focused on the inward spiritual heart. We know from the book of Proverbs that we need to guard our heart because out of it are the issues of life. We know from Mark chapter 7 that it's the heart, Jesus says. Out of the heart, these things come that make us who we are. And so the inward spiritual character of an individual is what is most important. Our prayers and the content of our prayers demonstrate that. Are our minds set on things that are above? Are we constantly thinking about heaven? Are we constantly praying about things that are going to make us more spiritually minded? I think of Galatians 6 verse 1 that the brother who's overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. The spiritual member of the church. The spiritual member of the church. The one who is spiritually minded. You can tell it in their talk and you can tell it in their prayers. They're not focused on the things of this life. They, from time to time in our conversations, we mention things of this life, and that's fine, I do that. But do we ever focus on, pray about the spiritual side of us? What we pray for says who we are. And we learn from Solomon here that he was focused on the spiritual. Verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord. You see that? It pleases the Lord to focus on the spiritual. That Solomon had asked this thing, and God said unto him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for thyself long life. That would be a typical thing that a worldly person would ask for. Neither have you asked for riches for yourself. That would be a typical worldly thing to ask for. And you have not asked for the life of thine enemies, revenge in some way. That would be a typical worldly thing to ask for. But you have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. And we'll get to that justice in just a minute. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there has been none like unto thee before thee, and has been none like and before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Now I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like and unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of Jehovah, and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all of his servants. Notice that the first thing that he does when he wakes up is that he is engaged in spiritual worship to God. But you'll notice in the second place here, in verse 12 and 13, that what he asked for would make him a very influential individual. What he asked for would make him wiser than anybody before or after him. He would be someone who would influence those around him in a very great kind of way. Turn with me to chapter 4 and verse 29. Chapter 4 and verse 29. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and large as Nephar, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite and Heman, and Chalcol and Darda, the sons of Mahol. His fame was in all the nations round about. Look at chapter 10 and verse 23. Chapter 10 and verse 23. Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. And all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. This man is influential. people are coming to him. He is teaching them. We're going to talk about the Queen of Sheba in just a minute. What he prayed for made him influential. Brethren, our second point this morning is that what we pray for needs to be that which is going to truly make us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are praying for things that are going to attract others to Christ. It's going to make us talk with them about Christ. It's going to make us stand out at work and at school. We're going to influence people. We are lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, holding forth the word of life. And we need to do that. What we pray for each and every day should make us influential. Jesus said that we're a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. If we find ourselves slumping into just being like the world around us and we're really no different, then maybe we need to change the content of our prayers to make us stand out. Lord, help me to say something that I need to say. Help me to know the Word of God more so that I can teach that to others. I need to stand out. And he prayed for something that would make him stand out. You know, long life and riches and the life of your enemies, other individuals could have that. He prayed for something that would make him different. And I want to encourage us to do the same. Whatever you need to pray for, whatever that is, so that I can be the truly influential Christian in the home and in the local church, and in the world around them. What a great thing. Turn with me to verse 16. As we move through the life of Solomon, we find that his wisdom is put to the test by these two women, these two harlots who came to him, and they both had children about the same time. And one woman accidentally rolls over on her baby and kills the baby. And the other woman, of course, has her child left. And these two women come and they're arguing over, you know, who's the mother of this child? And we know the story that Solomon is going to use his wisdom to settle this issue. And so he says, well, bring me a sword. I'll solve this. Bring me a sword. I'll just cut the child in half. I'll give half to one and half to the other. That'll solve that. And the mother of the child, the true mother of the child, said, no, don't do that. Obviously, the true mother doesn't want her child cut in half. Let the other woman have it. Solomon says, there you go. There's your mother, right there. Just paraphrasing the story. Now look at verse 27. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Now look at this. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged. And they feared the king, for that they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. Now I want you to underscore that in your Bible. He prayed for something that would cause him to have proper judgment and decisions in this situation where there is conflict. And God gives him wisdom to make a judgment of right and wrong. Go back to verse 9, that I might discern between good and evil. Brethren, let us pray for things, whatever those things are, but let us pray for things that give us better judgment and discernment between good and evil. And we live in a very wicked world, and there is a lot of conflict around us. Like these two women that come, well, the baby's mine, oh, the baby's mine, and you're going back and forth. This world is in conflict. This world is in conflict over moral issues. And our young people grow up, and sometimes they get caught up in that, and we need to help people see what is right and wrong. And let's pray for things that will help people who are in conflict, and let's step in and let's say, let me help the two of you know what is right and wrong. Now, of course, we're using the Word of God to do that. But there's a lot of conflict in this world. And there's a lot of confusion in this world. These two women are coming. Well, the baby's mine. No, the baby's mine. There's a lot of confusion and conflict in this world. And we need to be Christians each and every day that help people get rid of that in their life and come to the knowledge of the truth. And what we pray for can help us do that. Lord, help me to say something to this specific individual who is in conflict. This person is in conflict because they're listening to the world and this and that. Lord, I want to know that I need help knowing what to say and when to say it. I want to help them to know what is good and evil. So let's pray for things that help us to make that judgment. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. There's a great passage of scripture here. When Paul prays for the Philippian brethren, there's a number of good things that he says, but I want to focus in on one thing. Verse 9, Philippians 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love, this is the brethren at Philippi, your love may abound yet more and more. Now look at this. We have to love something. What is it? That we might have more and more love in knowledge, knowing the Word of God, and all discernment. Discernment is a different word from knowledge. Discernment is deciding between what is right and wrong. And then look at the very next verse. So that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and void of offense until the day of Christ. That statement, approve the things that are excellent, is literally to distinguish the things that differ. We look at things, we make a distinction between right and wrong, and we go with the right, of course. To distinguish the things that differ. And in this world, not everything's the same. There are things that are right, there are things that are wrong. There are things that are good, there are things that are evil, righteous and unrighteous, godly and ungodly. And as a Christian, we go through life and we make those separations. And what we pray for can help us do that. What the devil wants is just to throw it all together. And we're going to separate it out. We're going to follow the right and the truth of the Word of God. Turn with me to chapter 3 of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 3. And let's notice another matter. I'm sorry, chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even that it was as the sand that is on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east. We read this verse earlier. And then notice verse 32. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Verse 34. And there came of all the people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. He spake of 3,000 proverbs. If you turn over to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1, it says the Proverbs of Solomon. There's a few of them listed there. We don't have all 3,000. But what Solomon prayed for was something that he could share that information with others that is very practical in nature. Pray for things that are going to just practically make us a better Christian each and every day. Not theoretical, not hypothetical, not theory and out here in the ethereal world, but daily my marriage is going to be better, my parenting is going to be better, my service to Christ is going to be better, preaching, elders, deacons, Bible classes, we're just going to be a better person practically each and every day.
Religion is not going to be just some theoretical thing. When you read the Proverbs, you're reading practically how to be a good person. The Proverbs on how to use our tongue. There's Proverbs on work and don't be lazy. There's Proverbs on how to use our tongue. There's Proverbs on how to stay away from sexual immorality. Just basic, daily, practical living. What Solomon prayed for, he translated that into words that just help people to be better people. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and he talks about life without God. It's just vanity and striving after wind. And he's just very practical about things of money and work and building things and keeping all of that in perspective with God. And he closes it by saying that the end of the matter is to fear God and keep His commandments. That's what life is all about. Solomon's wisdom was not just something where you come in an academic setting and you listen to Solomon ramble on for several hours and yawn and then everybody goes home. He spoke to help people be better. Look at Song of Solomon. He writes Song of Solomon to talk about the love between a husband and a wife. These are all practical things. And we so need it today. The home is falling apart in the United States. Marriage is falling apart. And the answer is not some government program. The answer is to read our Bible and follow the wisdom that God gave Solomon in a practical way. Young people, those who are going off to college, let me give you a 30-day challenge. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Let me encourage you to read one chapter a day for a month. Read one chapter a day. It's easy. It's not hard. It doesn't take that long. And it will keep you straight. It is so practical. There are Proverbs on friendships. There's Proverbs on relationships. There's Proverbs on all kinds of... It's just good, practical wisdom. And so when we pray, let's ask God for things that are going to help us just be a better Christian by the end of the day. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 5. When you come to 1 Kings chapter 5, you come to the next great event in the life of Solomon, and that is his building of the temple. Chapter 5 introduces Hiram of Tyre, who's going to help him with bringing the wood down for the temple and the other arrangements that are given. And you read chapters 6, 7, 8, and 9. It is the building of the temple. It's a great, great section in Solomon's life. But what Solomon asked for in his prayer would actually be something that would help him in his religious life. He brought his wisdom into the building of the temple. Chapter 5, verse 7, it came to pass when Hiram heard the words of Solomon that he rejoiced greatly and said, "Blessed be Jehovah this day who hath given unto David a wise son over this great people." And then verse 12, "And Jehovah gave Solomon wisdom as he promised him, and there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two made a league together." The wisdom included his work with Hiram in the building of the temple. Because what Solomon wanted was a place to worship God. We don't have time this morning to read chapter 8, but if you turn over to 1 Kings chapter 8, when Solomon gathered all the people together, he offers up this great speech to them and a prayer to them, and it is awesome. Maybe one day we can come back through and do some lessons on this. But Solomon is completely focused at this point on worshiping God, the God of heaven. Brethren, when we pray for things each and every day, let's pray for things that are going to make us more religious. Pray for things that are going to make us want to be here more to worship God. I want to be here more. I want to come to the place where God's house, the church today, is, and I want to worship God. There are things out in the world that are pulling me away. I'm going to ask for things. I'm going to pray for things that are going to make me more religious. And I'm going to pray for things that I can use in my religion. I want to be more active in the church. I want to be more unified with my brethren. I want to do things with them. I want to be of more service to them and even in the community. I want to be more religious. A genuine religion, a heartfelt, a loving, genuine religion. And you read this address and this prayer of dedication, it is wonderful what he says about the greatness of God, why he and the others should be there to worship him. He prayed for something that increased his relationship and his religious service to God. And they're offering up sacrifices at the end. And there's thousands of animals being offered up. Let's pray for things each day that are going to make us more religious. Turn with me to chapter 10. Let's look at another area of Solomon's life that is well known. The Queen of Sheba comes. Have you noticed that all of these events that we're looking at, they all go back to the prayer? That's the point. What we pray for makes us who we are. They all go back to the prayer. So now we come back to the Queen of Sheba. And in verse 1, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of Jehovah, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train or entourage with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she had come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which she told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon in the house that he had built. How do you see wisdom? You can hear it, but how do you see wisdom? She saw how he had applied that in his life and what he had done with it. You can see wisdom. And when she had seen this, and the house that he had built, and the food on his tables, the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of Jehovah, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard from my own land. He's influential. Let's be a person where people hear about our character in service to God. It was true that this report that I heard in my own land of thine own acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeds the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants that stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be Jehovah thy God who delights in thee. Notice how that people in the world are brought closer to God and knowing him through us. That's the way it needs to be. But Jehovah thy God who delights in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because Jehovah loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do justice and righteousness. We talked about that earlier. To help a confused and conflicted world to know what's up from down. She gave the king 120 talents of gold and of the spices, very great store and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba had given to King Solomon. He asked for something that would allow him to educate others. She has all these questions. She gets all the answers. She has all of these inquiries. Everything that she wants to know about is told her.
When we ask for things, brethren, let's ask for things that will help us teach others the truth of the Word of God. Our daily Bible reading. Lord, help me to apply what I just read today, or what I read yesterday. Help me to take that and teach somebody else. Brethren, there are people in Clarksville and Montgomery County with questions. Young people, when you're going off to school, there's going to be a bunch of people with questions. You be there to teach them the Word of God. He asked for something that would help him teach others and educate others in the Word of God. And as the account says, more specifically, in righteousness. Let's be active in talking with others. They need it so greatly in this lost and dying world. They're conflicted, they're confused, they're ignorant, they're in darkness, as Jesus says, John 3, and we need to be there to teach them. And then last of all, turn with me to chapter 11 as we come to the close of Solomon's life. We find that he asked for something at the very beginning that was meant to be personal in nature. He asked for something that was meant to be for him. Unfortunately, he forgot about that. He's out helping others. He's writing the book of Proverbs, helping others. Right in the book of Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, he's helping others. Here comes the Queen of Sheba. I'll help her. But toward the end of his life, he didn't apply it to himself. Let's make sure that when we're asking in prayer to God for things, that we apply it in our own lives. Now, King Solomon loved many foreign women together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabitess, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, Hittites, of the nations concerning which Jehovah said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go among them, neither shall they come among you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives and princes and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. What did he ask for all the way back in chapter 3? An understanding heart. And that understanding heart has to be obedient to God. He allowed these wives to draw him away. For it came to pass, verse 4, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with Jehovah his God, as was the heart of David his father. This was so recognizable. This was such an historic event that about 500 years later, if you look at the end of the book of Nehemiah, it's brought up there. Solomon's wives turned his heart away. Some 500 years later. That's how classic and key this point is. It was terrible. Because he failed to make it personal. Let's make sure that when we pray for things, that we make it personal so that we can remain faithful to God. Verse 6, Solomon did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, and he went not fully after Jehovah as did David his father. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the mount that is before Jerusalem. So he built a temple. Now he's building an idol. That wisdom, brethren, that understanding that helped so many people and that he used for such good, he did not, at the end of his life, make it personal. And so did he for all his foreign wives who burnt incense and sacrifice unto their gods. Prayer and praying for things involving the Scripture and our service to Christ, we need to make sure we're applying it in our own lives. When we say amen, let's apply it in our own lives. He was supposed to be walking in God's ways all along, but toward the end, he chose not to do that. All the way back in chapter 2, David had told him, walk in the ways of God, be obedient to God, chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And what great advice David gave to him. I can't think of any greater advice that parents can give their children than chapter 2, 1 through 9. I'm about to leave this life. You walk in God's commandments. I can't think of any greater advice. David gave him that advice, and God himself gave him that advice in chapter 3 and verse 14. If you will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did, then I will lengthen thy days. God gave him that advice. Same in chapter 6 and again in chapter 9. But Solomon ended on a bad note. Let's not go through life and end on a bad note. Let's go through life and pray for those things that will truly make us spiritual and influential for those around us and help us to cut through all of the conflict and confusion of people around us and help them to know right from wrong. Let's always make it practical. At the end of the day, we need to be practically better in our service to God. Let's ask for things that make us more religious and greater in service to God. Let's ask for things that help us teach others the Word of God. And let's ask for things that help us in our own personal lives. Have you ever known of anybody that did a great job of helping others, but they fell themselves? That's Solomon. And we have it in the record this morning for us to learn from. Well, we're going to stand and sing this song of invitation. We appreciate the attention, the participation in a study and a survey of Solomon's life. What to ask for. What we ask for makes us who we are. There may be someone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel in baptism. We can certainly help you do that. There may be a child of God that needs to come back in some way, and we can help you do that. Well, we're going to stand and sing this song of invitation. If we can assist you, why won't you come as we stand and sing?